problems are you having? We need revival. Well, you don't understand, Brother Rodney. It's my family. We need revival. You don't understand. I have financial problems. We need revival. Emotionally, I'm a wreck. We need revival. We need revival. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter what your problem is. The answer's all the same. We need a move of God. And you say, well, man, we've been having good services. I know. And I'm glad we are. But we still need a move of God. We need a move of God. That's still not what I'm preaching on. The book of Daniel chapter 3. Everyone knows this story. I won't preach anything new to you. I'm sure you've heard everything in the Bible. If there's a message can be preached, if you've been in church very long, you've heard it. And so I can't preach anything new to you, okay? And I won't be able to, don't expect that. I might give it a new title, but it don't change the message. Setting of scripture where we're at, and we've been studying in our class about the prophecies of Ezekiel. And what Ezekiel's been prophesying, you go to the book of Daniel and you start reading, you find out that those prophecies came real. They became real. God did exactly what he said he was going to do to Israel. And he scattered them all over the place. Three young men, I don't know, my voice may not hold up. And y'all know what? Just to tell you this, this is kind of ironic. A guy called me yesterday. I haven't talked to in years, haven't seen in years. I used to know him from years ago. He started a church here in Shawnee, and I don't know if he's expecting me to preach tonight, but I'm supposed to go to his church tonight at 6 o'clock. So if I had to preach there, that's going to be three times a day. Isn't that something? How would you like to be my wife? How would you like to have to sit through me three times a day? That's pretty rough, isn't it? Three young men. Are in Babylon. Actually, there's more of them there than that, but there's three that I'm going to talk to you about today. Three young men are sitting in Babylon. They have passed the test. They have proven themselves that God is real. They have proved themselves faithful to God. Even through Israel being punished, even through Israel being taken captive, and sent to a far land, they have proven themselves to God that they are faithful and that they want to serve God. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been through the test and they've done what God wants them to do. Now we are in chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, and we all know the story. Nebuchadnezzar built an idol, a big golden statue of himself. And he said, now the music's going to play. Everything's going to start happening like it's supposed to. The mood's going to be just right. The lights are going to be on. And, you know, everything's going to be just like. And when I pull the cover from the statue, everybody's going to bow. And they're going to worship this golden image. So, you know, they played all these instruments and everything happened like it was supposed to. Now understand, there's a punishment if you don't bow. The punishment is that you will be cast into a lake and into a furnace of fire. So everybody there knew, and I don't know how big the crowd was, but I would say it was a pretty good crowd of people. The music played. Everybody knew the rules. Everybody knew what was going to happen if you didn't obey the rules. So the music played. They grabbed the cover and yanked the cover off the idol. And when they did, the crowd bowed down. Except for three people were standing in that crowd. They gathered them up. They took them to the king. And in verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I want to talk to you for just a little bit this afternoon, and I'll try not to preach real long. And I thought I did okay this morning once I saw the clock. I don't know what time I started, but I knew what time I quit, because I could see the clock by the time I quit. This setting of Scripture, every one of us know the story. I'm coming down here so I can keep Todd awake. I don't want him going to sleep on me. I'll get down there and spit on him real good. This setting of Scripture takes us to these young men that are in a position to either stand or to bow. They could have bowed, and they could have asked forgiveness probably. But you see, they believed in their God. And they trusted their God so much that they said, King, we're not even careful to answer you. Our God is able to deliver us from the fire, but he will deliver us out of your hand. Whether we burn up or whether God brings us out of the fire, we're still going to be delivered out of your hand. So either way, we're going to win. But we are not going to bow. So I want to ask you today, what if God don't? That's what I want to preach to you about. What if he don't? What if he don't? You see, we get excited. We read this story and chill bumps run up and down our arm and up and down our spine. And we get all excited. You know why? Because we know what happened. We know that God delivered them. They did not know that God was going to deliver them. All they knew was the punishment was, you're going to be cast into fire. We're still not going to bow. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're fixing to be burned up with the intense heat. We don't know what's going to happen to us, but this we do know. We are not going to bow. How is your trust in God? How is your faith in God? How is, you know, we want to talk about faith sometimes, about healing, about miracles, but how is your trust in God that no matter what happens, God knows what he's doing in your life? The one word that gets us anymore. The one word in sickness that we hear it and it seems like it's a death punishment is the word cancer. And when we hear that word that somebody has cancer, automatically we're thinking, well, they're not going to be around very long. You know, that's just what we think. And it's because it's so rampant in our world. What if God don't heal that cancer? What if God don't take care of that? What if that is how you die? What is that? What if he don't take care of that? Do you still trust God that he knows what he's doing? I used to have the tape or the CD of E.B. Hill when he preached his wife's funeral. And he said my wife was sick in the hospital. Don't even remember what was wrong with her. But she was in the hospital. And he said, I went to the little place where you go pray there at the hospital, whatever it's called, the chapel. He said, I walked in and I knelt down. And I said, God, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you like down to earth. I don't want to talk to you like you're God. I want to talk to you like you're down to earth. And he said, I prayed. And I said, God, I want you to heal my wife. I want you to heal my wife. I've given my life to you. I've given everything to you. She's been a dedicated wife. I want you to heal her. And he said, two words came to me while I was praying. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, trust me. He said, when I was praying, I thought, great. God, you're going to heal my wife. And God said, I'm not going to heal her. I said, trust me. He said, I didn't say I was going to heal her. I said, trust me. He said, so what did I do? I went back to the Word of God and I read in the Word of God what he does with those that he takes. And it strengthened my trust in God. And then he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, heal. You thought she was beautiful when she was yours. But you wait till I get through with her and you see her in her heavenly body. In her glorified body. You see, there's times when trust does not mean that you get what you want. Trust means that you believe that God knows what's best for you. It's not easy sometimes to trust God. Because we don't always get the bonus that we want, or we don't always get exactly how we feel it ought to go. But you see, it did not matter to these three Hebrew boys. What they did know was that God was God, and God knew what was going on. The Bible said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not at the promise of God, but he believed. And he believed that everything God said, he was able to do. Abraham did not have this to read. Abraham's in the very first of this book. In the very first parts of this book. That's all Abraham knew was what God said. He did not have the book of Psalms to encourage him. He did not have the New Testament to encourage him. He did not have the Holy Ghost to come along and prick his heart and tell him, let's move on, let's keep going. He did not have a church and a pastor to say to him, come on, let's keep on. Let's keep on keeping on. Let's keep fighting the fight. Let's be faithful to God. All he knew was that God said, I will give you a son. And in thy son Isaac shall thy seed be, and I will make of him a great nation. And that's the only son that he had that God said, I will make of him a great nation. That's the promise that Abraham believed on. And then one night, I don't know if he was in prayer. I don't know if he was eating dinner. I don't know if he was stargazing, but the Spirit of the Lord came to him and the Lord said, Abraham. And he said, yes, probably one time he wished he hadn't answered, but he did. He said, yes, Lord. And the Lord said, I want you to take Isaac, your only son Isaac, and I'm going to show you a place and I want you to offer him for a sacrifice. Abraham never questioned God. Abraham never asked God of anything else about it. The Bible said he rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkeys up and took his servants with him, and he took the wood and he took the fire and he took Isaac, and they took off and traveled 3 days' journey before God showed him that place. But when he got there, he said, "The lad and I will go and we shall return. We're going to go worship." You see, there was a promise from God that I will make of Isaac a great nation. There was a covenant with God, and he believed God, and he took him all the way to the altar and tied him up and drew back to take his life. When the angel said, "Abraham, Abraham, stop. God has seen your faithfulness." But Abraham believed to the point that if he had killed Isaac and if he had burnt him to ashes, that out of them ashes God would raise up Isaac, because it was a promise from God that I will provide a nation out of Isaac. So what if God don't stop you where you're at? The promises of God do not change. A couple years ago, I was not at home for a while. I sent my wife a letter. In that letter, I drew a picture of a church. And on that church, I wrote something on the sign. And on that sign, I had it all drawn. And I'm not an artist, so you know, your little kid could probably draw better than I did. I never thought anything else about it. Until 2 years later, I stepped into the realm of that picture and realized that God had moved on me 2 years before and what he was doing in my life at this time. The promises of God are true. If he says he will do it, he means he will do it. And that does not change. I have a promise written in my Bible, sitting right there on that seat. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me one Sunday morning, and I wrote it in my Bible. When I got home, I told my wife, I said, "I want you to go pick up my Bible and look in there on this date." I wrote in there the date and the promise that God told me. She went in there, she read it, and she said, "You are crazy. There ain't no way in this world." Very few people know about this. I told another person about it. I said, I got something to tell you. I said, "And you can't tell. I don't want to spread around. I'm telling you for a reason." But I said, "God gave me a promise." And he said, "Is it this?" And both him and his wife told me exactly what God said. And I said, "Yes, that's what it is." And they said, "I don't see that ever happening." I said, "I don't either. But all I know is what God said. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It matters what God said." What if he don't do it like you think he ought to? It does not change that he is God. He is God. He sees things. Y'all look way different here than you do from here. You look a lot different from down here looking eye level. And when you get up high and you look at people, it looks different. Probably if I was sitting down there and you was up here, you would see that my hair is really, really thin on top. You probably can't notice it as much if you're high level. You might do it, but don't tell me. But from higher up, you can see things differently. You see, God is way up high. And he's looking down on everything that we're doing. And he knows how it needs to plan out. He knows where you are and where you need to be and where you are and need to be. And he knows everything that's going on. You didn't get up this morning and say, "Oh God, I have a cold today," and he was surprised. No. He knew it before it ever happened. He knew the pastor was sick today. He knew that 3 weeks ago. He knew the pastor was going to be sick today. And who knows that it was for a reason. That maybe somebody here this morning needed to hear what I had to say. And maybe this afternoon you need to hear what I have to say. And so maybe he knew the only way that was going to happen if the pastor was sick, so I would have to preach both services. I don't know the plan of God. All I can tell you is roll with it. He knows what he's doing. Abraham believed God. God told Abraham, and I'm about done, okay? God told Abraham, you get up, you get out of your country, and you go to a place that I will show you. Now, how would you like that for an answer? Todd, you get up in the morning and you load your car up with everything you own. Everything you get in your car. That's all I want you to take. And I want you to head north on I-35. Go to Oklahoma City and head north. And I'll show you where you need to be. Yeah, how would you like to do that? Yeah. Well, Lord, I'm going to fleece you, and you know, we'd have to fleece God for 3 weeks before we ever decided, you know why? Because Abraham staggered not. He knew God. He is a personal one-on-one relationship with God. He knew who his God was, and he trusted his God. Man, what if we trusted God? What if we trusted God to that extent? That if God said, I want you to go to Walmart and walk down such and such aisle, and standing there will be such and such person, and you speak to them and just tell them that God loves them. The trust that God knows what he's doing. I hear people, I've heard it all my life. And I've never got so tired of it. And then don't, please don't take me wrong. And I hope, if you said it, I haven't heard you say it. So if you said it, then you, hopefully you don't get mad at me. I've heard people say, well, man, I felt like I ought to do this, but I didn't know if it was God or not. You know what my Bible says? My sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. The devil's most of the time not going to ask you to do good to help people and encourage people. You know what he's here for? He's the thief. He's here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The Bible says that's what he came for. He didn't say that he could do it. He said he came to do it. He don't have the power to do it. How much trust do you have in God? How much do you know about God? How much do you know God that you can trust him? That you trust him. You trust him with your life? You trust him with everything you have? Do you trust him? That whenever he says that I'll listen and I'll follow. Well, I got your attention, or you're all gone to sleep or something. How much do you trust him? I can go today. I'm not going to today, but I can. I've done it before. I've been at the store before, and I thought, you know what? My wife would like that dress. And I bought it and took it home to her. Very few times have I been wrong. You know why? Because I know her. I know what she likes. I know. Now, I wouldn't attempt to buy shoes, but I could get real close. You know why? Because I know what she likes. I could probably build her a house, and she'd be happy with it because I know her. I know her. And she trusts me because I know her. How much do you trust God? How much do you trust Him? Todd, do you really trust Him? You don't have to answer me, okay? I'm not trying to put you on the spot there. Do you really trust Him? Or are you scared to let it go? Because you need to hang on to it. What about that husband that's not saved? Can you just let God have that? Can you just let God have it? And quit worrying about how He's going to do it. Just let Him do it. What about them children that aren't saved? Can you just let God be God? I'm going to show you this. I wish I had something to draw on, but I don't. My mother-in-law showed me this a long time ago. I've asked her if I could use it, and I've used it a bunch of times preaching. But she drew a dot on a marker board. Around that dot, she drew a circle. Around that circle, she drew a bigger circle. She said one night in a dream, God showed her and said, that little bitty dot is you. That little bitty dot is you. She said, this circle right here is the perimeter of your understanding. There's only so much that you understand. There's only so many things that you really know about that you can understand. And that's that first circle. The second circle that's even bigger, that's the perimeter of your imagination. Now, I have a big imagination. I have spent millions of dollars in my imagination. I have been a billionaire. I built a big house. I bought all kinds of cars. I've done all kinds of... You wouldn't believe the churches I've built and helped out in my imagination. So it's big. That's the perimeter of your imagination. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to her. And in this dream, them lines became erased. And He said, why don't you just let me be God? Why don't you let me be God? I'm bigger than your imagination. I'm bigger than your knowledge. I'm bigger than His ways are so far above our ways. What if He don't? But He will deliver us. It may not be like you want, but He will take care of us. Just not maybe exactly like you think He ought. Amen. All right. I told you I wasn't going to preach very long. Stand with me. Thank you for being here today. Is there any other announcements, Sister Stone, that need to be made? Do you know of any?